Our church parish of Sacred Heart was founded in the year 1854, and it was the same year that Pope Pius IX declared the infallible doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. It was certainly believed before that, but there were some doubts, and so the Pope can use his extraordinary supreme power to declare an infallible doctrine, and he did so in that very same year. And less than 4 years later, in 1858, on this day, February the 11th, Our Lady appeared to young Bernadette Soubirous, just 12 years of age, one of 18 apparitions that Our Lady would appear to her through July of that same year. And on the 16th apparition, when Bernadette finally asked her, "Who are you?" This beautiful lady dressed in white with a blue sash and a rosary and a yellow rose on each foot. And she said, "Who are you?" as the priest had asked Bernadette to ask the apparition. And she said in the Occitan dialect of southern France, pretty Spanish sounding, she said, "Que soy era Immaculada Concepción." I am the Immaculate Conception. And Bernadette was uneducated. And the priest, when Bernadette told the priest what Mary had said, he knew that something was up because this girl did not know these words at all, and it was still a relatively new, infallibly declared doctrine. Well, today is that anniversary of the first apparition, and it is World Day of the Sick. And just like our readings last year were about healing, we continue with the same kind of readings today, specifically with that of leprosy. But at that Shrine of Lourdes, there have been 6,000 cases of healings examined. So there have been many, many healings, but only 64 have been declared miracles, where they take away all doubt that it was from anything else. And I remember being there in 1989 with Father Jules Arsenault and Father Hampton Davis. We arrived late at the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes, and we figured it was like 11 p.m. and we figured the gates would be locked, but no, they were open. So we were able to go in and pray a rosary in the cave where those apparitions took. Nobody else around, just the three of us. And so Our Lady had told Bernadette to dig in the cave ground, or at the back of the cave, and that there would be a source of water, which was just a little trickle at the beginning, but now it is 27,000 gallons a day. And tons of people, 5 million a year, go and drink the water, bathe in the water, do whatever to pray for healing and blessing. I remember going with those seminarians, Jules Arsenault and Hampton Davis at the time. And in those days, you could take the full bath. Now it's just they wash your hands and you drink a little bit because of COVID things. But back then, you could go down into the whole water itself. And I remember stepping into it just up to my shins and thinking that my legs had frozen over totally. And it was so painful. And then I said, "Now I got to go underneath the whole thing." But it was kind of a warm sensation and a great blessing. In 1866, Bernadette became a nun. And then in some 12 years later, got tuberculosis and asthma, died the next year, 1879, the age of 35. But she said, "To obey is to love. To suffer in silence is joy. To love sincerely is to give everything, even grief." So she was able to give everything that she had. And there have been so many healings and blessings and graces. This coming Wednesday, of course, will be Valentine's Day, coinciding with Ash Wednesday this year. So guys, you better take your girls out on the Tuesday, because it's not going to be a big meal on Wednesday for sure. And but every chalice is very important to a priest. And today we are using the chalice of Father Verbis Lafleur, who gave, well, it was just willed to his nephew, Father Will Sylvester. And some of you probably related to Father Sylvester as well as Father Verbis. And this is the 25th anniversary of his death yesterday, Father Will Sylvester. But he gave it to Father Carl Beekman, who was a seminarian at the time. And he went back to his home diocese of Illinois as a seminarian, became a priest, and had the chalice. And so when the family, Father Verbis, was looking for the chalice, I said, I know where it is. I know Father Carl Beekman. So I gave him a call, and the first thing he said is, what, do you want that chalice back? I said, no, I was just calling to get reacquainted. And the next day he called and said, I'm going to mail it to you. And we said, don't mail it. We'll come get it. So the family went and got it, and Father Carl gave it to Sacred Heart Church. And so we pray that it'll be used as a relic one day. Hopefully he will be canonized a saint. And my own chalice was a Valentine's gift to me, as it was blessed and used by Pope St. John Paul II for the first time on February the 14th, 1990, just a few months before I was ordained by him. And on that Valentine's Day in 1995, I was preaching about my chalice and the anniversary when they called me because of a situation of a kidnapping. And I was thinking I would have to exchange myself for the victim. And so I told the people, let's celebrate this Mass with a little bit of fervor. It might be my last one. And so we finished the Mass, and they brought me out into the sugarcane field in between Delcam and Erath. And there was the young man, and they told me he had already killed his ex-girlfriend, terrible tragedy, evil. And yet I had kind of a guttural experience of compassion for him as I saw him there with a gun to his chest. He was going to kill himself. He was surrounded by sheriff's deputies. And so they had been negotiating for 2 hours and nothing was working. And I joined in on the conversation, and another 2 hours, nothing was working. And that's when I got the inspiration to give him my grandmother's rosary that I had in my pocket and take off my scapular and give it to him. He said he had been raised Catholic, but was no longer practicing the faith, had even been an altar boy and thought about becoming a priest when he was young. And so here he was in this situation. And after giving him those two sacramentals, he gave up in 10 minutes. 4 hours, nothing was working. 10 minutes with two blessed articles in his hands, he gave it up. And so another sign of spiritual healing, and he's had a transformation in Angola State Prison, and now he's a minister to his fellow prisoners. So he has changed his life by the grace and the power of Almighty God. And so the healings are still taking place today, some miraculous, some normal, and some by the power of Almighty God to heal the hearts, as we heard in Psalm 32. Kind of that spiritual healing, the guy that didn't confess it until it just burst out, and he had to be healed in his soul. So let us pray for all of the sick, all of the suffering, and let us pray over them as well. Pray over each other, you can heal too, and ask the priest for healing blessings as well. Amen.